Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa DeYoung. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast, and my apologies, this episode is a little late this week. As a lot of you know, or if you're new to the pod, you're very welcome. I've recently moved house and my schedule has been a little bit up in the air. And then Richard and I were traveling. We went to a wedding in Scotland over the weekend, which was wonderful. And then I got hit with a little bit of a cold. So yeah, the week has definitely been off to a very slow start. And then, as many of you know, a house move, it's just kind of taken it out of me a little bit. And the routines, working for myself, yeah, the routines are just thrown up in the air. But a win I want to share with you is that when you move house, as I said last week, the routines go a little bit out the window, and exercise is something really important to me. But I've, over the years, had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say love-hate relationship, but a complicated relationship with exercise, because I went to a school where there was a lot of pressure put on you in order to be very fit and athletic. And yeah, there was just a huge focus on physical activity, which on one level is good, but there was very little rest and very little downtime. We had matches on Saturday mornings. I remember the school, the girls' sports coach had like rain, hail or snow written on the notice board in the changing rooms. So yeah, it came with a little bit of that kind of a threatening sort of emotional tone from time to time in that school. And even though that did instill in me a lot of value for physical activity and health and sports and exercise and even competitive exercise, I do sometimes resist it because of that. And yeah, it's definitely left kind of a little bit of a mark that I've had to work through. But anyway, I now have, I think, a healthier relationship with exercise, one that feels good for me. And, you know, worked through a lot of injuries throughout the years and have kind of gone through phases of not doing anything as a kind of a rebellion and then going, you know, full throttle into it again. And so anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that yesterday I joined a new running group. So Richard and I, we have moved from a different part of the east coast of Ireland. So it's only an hour. We've only moved an hour away, but we've moved to a new community, a whole new community, a new side of the city, if you will. And I am not familiar at all with this part of Dublin, which is exciting to me because I get to know, you know, a new area. And anyway, I went to this running group, which you might have heard of it. It's called Fit for Life. I think in other countries, they call it Couch to 5K, because I wanted to join the local athletics club. And they said to me, you can join the athletics club, but you have to do the Fit for Life program first, which I think is actually really good because they're putting you through this very gentle exercise program that supports your physicality to get to a certain level of fitness before they put you into a more intense athletics group, I guess. So anyway, I was thinking of my colleague and peer, Orna Murray, who's been on the podcast before. And she has also given talks inside the Menstrual Coach Academy. That's my online school, about women and girls in sport and the menstrual cycle and hormones. And I remember, and hello, Orna, if you're listening, you were on my mind yesterday, because when I was chatting to her a few years ago, and I'll link her episode in the show notes, because it is actually from a couple of years ago, but it was a very valuable podcast episode, because the message that I took away from talking to her was that it is hard to do something new and go and join a new group. You know, I might present as very confident in my work, but, you know, going and joining a new running group with a group of people who are already established with their own little cliques and their own, you know, they have their own routines with that club, and, you know, maybe they're fitter than me or whatever. you know, they know the roads and they know where they're going. And whereas for me, I didn't even know how to get there. I didn't know if there was going to be like a locker or a room where I could put my bag, or where do I put my keys? You know, like just all these kind of like things that come up in my head. Do I bring my water with me? Like, where exactly are we running to? How long are we doing the warm up for? You know, all these things that my brain needs to know. And exactly like what kind of program are we doing? And, you know, they start at 7, but it didn't indicate the end time. So I was like, is this like a 3-hour session or is it like a 1-hour thing? So a lot of questions that make me nervous. And it's those uncertainties that make me, that in the past have actually prevented me from leaving the house, or just kind of avoiding going out, or, you know, even just the awkwardness of meeting new people as an adult. And it just can be very vulnerable. And as Orna says in that episode, you know, like joining the new athletics club or going to the run, to the cycling group or the dance class, or I don't know, the gymnastics or the ice skating or whatever it is that has caught your attention. Orna was on my mind, because I was saying to myself in the car on the way there, I was like, no, this is vulnerable. And to acknowledge the vulnerability of that and to acknowledge the courage to go and put yourself out there and go and do the jog with those people and meet those people is a really brave. And also, I know she'd use this term, she'd say it's a really cool thing to do. So anyway, Orna, if you're listening, thank you. And yeah, I just really appreciate that. And I know a lot of people are really resonating to, I hope a lot of you are resonating to this message. But yeah, it was hard for me to go. Well, it wasn't hard. It was just, it was a little like, kind of, I felt the resistance, you know, I felt the resistance of not wanting to really go. And yeah, I went and I did it was wonderful. It was really great. They were so welcoming. Athletics groups in Ireland, from my experience, have been so welcoming. There's always a really kind, warm person there to welcome you. And you just have to ask the questions. I asked, you know, is there a place I can put my keys? And do I need to bring my water? And what time are we finished? And I got all my answers. And then I was introduced to people, and we did a jog of the park. And then that was for like 10 minutes. And then we did some interval training, which was about 600 meters at a fast jog four times. Well, I did it four times. Some people did it five times. And then we had breaks, in like 2-minute break in between, and there were two coaches there, and it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. It stretched me, it challenged me. As some of you might know, I was in a sprint group before, so anything more than 400 meters is, you know, that's a stretch for me. But I felt good, and I had gotten shin splints and plantar fasciitis last year, so I'm actually fine. I'm not in pain now. So I'm wanting to build myself up in a healthy way. And anyway, that's a very long intro to my recent update. But yeah, the reason I'm sharing that story with you is to also say to you that whatever the thing is that you're thinking about doing or joining or going to, that yeah, it's scary, and it can be scary, even no matter how silly that feels. But doing something new like that, or putting yourself out there into a new group, or trying a new hobby, or going on a trip by yourself, or, you know, approaching someone because you want to go with, like, you know, I'm thinking about making new friendships, like going for coffee with somebody new, all these things that your heart, your mind, and your physical body desire are really important. And I think it's good to celebrate that, to name the vulnerability, to breathe into it, to think about what Orna was sharing with us all and with me, you know, that it is a very courageous thing to do, and you deserve the acknowledgement of the vulnerability and the credit for putting yourself out there and for doing the thing. Because when you do the thing, it's so much easier to go back the second day, you know, the second week. And I'm really looking forward to my run with those people next week. So, and I know myself as well, that having a group to go running with, I'm going to be running probably most weeks now, probably several times a week, because I really, really benefit from the group energy and the co-regulation and the accountability and the camaraderie as well, and the support and the encouragement of being in a group, and just having the chats, you know, and getting to know a few people in the neighborhood, and having, you know, just keeping it easy breezy. So I'm really, really grateful for that. And it'll be, yeah, sometimes you just have to make that first kind of scary step to, you know, and then it gets a little easier after. So do let me know, what is something new you're trying? What is something you're wanting to do? that you've kind of been avoiding, but you think it'll be good for you, what for whatever reason, I'd love to hear. Send me a message. Some of you have been messaging me on Instagram with some of your stories, which I absolutely love. So thank you. You can send me an email, send me a message on Instagram and let me know how it goes. And I am cheering for you and Orna is cheering for you. And we're telling you that, yeah, it is scary and it's also great. You're going to do it. And, you know, you're going to lean into the courage. And this actually leads me into today's topic quite well, which is this idea of like, you are well able. I also want to speak to professionals because I know that I have an overlapping audience. So people who are here for their own healing journey, and also those of you who are professionals, facilitators, coaches, therapists, educators, people working with people. You're obviously doing your own inner work and then you're helping people on their journey. Your client is also well able. So this is a topic that came through my Menstrual Coach Academy yesterday only, because one of our wonderful students from the current cohort very bravely, again, here's the courage, she very courageously and very vulnerably brought in her challenge, which was that she was feeling nervous about stepping into coaching. So this wonderful student of mine, she has a lot of experience, a lot of training under her belt, a lot of life experience as well, a lot of wisdom. And she's someone who just holds so much heart in who she is. And yeah, she just has such a huge light every time she's in the call. Like so many of my students, they have huge lights. She has a really strong inner light. And I know that she's going to be a brilliant facilitator and a brilliant coach for the clients who she's going to work with. Anyway, so what she was bringing to the table in the Menstrual Coach Academy coaching call the other day was this feeling of like feeling nervous around getting started. And anyway, we unpacked it a bit. And one of the ways that I coach when I'm doing group coaching like that is I keep it very simple. I just listen to the issue. I might take some notes and then I notice what strikes me and what the person is sharing. And what really struck me in what this student of mine was sharing was that she was kind of talking about nervousness, and that word, I think she used that word, but that word, that emotion struck me. And then I asked her, okay, tell me more about this nervousness that you're feeling. Cause I see her as really well able, and I have full confidence that she's going to really, you know, hold great space for her clients. Anyway, so she brought this nervousness to the table and I asked her about it, and then she unpacked it more and she said, well, it's because this work around, you know, working with people who have chronic pain and they struggle with their menstrual cycle, it's such delicate, tender work. It's really, really important work, Lisa, and it's so tender. And my nervousness is just about like, am I good enough? Or, you know, can I really help this person? And am I going to be able to support them on their journey? And like, is my work going to be enough for them? So again, I was listening to her, and that was also the thing that struck me, was the word tender when she said this work is really tender. So I had a little think about that, and we were chatting about it. And then I just said to her, this is kind of, again, it's how I coach. I notice things, I feel into, I guess, the energies, and then I'm putting them through a lot of different lenses. And I do my best to trust what comes through me. But what came through me was, I just said to her, okay, how would it feel if I said to you, because she was talking a lot about like the suffering that her future potential clients are going to bring to the table. And I just said to her, okay, what happens for you in your system when I say to you, your clients are actually well able? And we paused there. So I said that to her, your clients are well able. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about that. You know, you are well able. What happens when I say that? You are well able. Your client is well able. So it shifted something in the belief system around this work. And this is what I want to unpack here today, because I don't want to negate the actual real tenderness of trauma and chronic pain and menstrual cycle suffering. And what a lot of you are currently going through, maybe today you're feeling really crappy, or you've gone through so much with your cycle and your hormones, or maybe you are professional and you're dealing with a lot of complex cases. So we're not negating that. But the danger of only believing that side of the story is that we then go into a place, a relational space of disempowerment, where we can get lost. We can get lost in disempowerment. Or if you're a professional, you can then get sucked in by your client's disempowerment or merge in their disempowerment, or your own disempowerment can be really triggered. And we get kind of stuck in this freezy, hopeless place. Okay. And again, I'm not going to diminish this. I think there's an appropriate time and place for hopelessness and for feeling disempowered. Of course, that's a very normal, healthy response to a lot of shitty situations, including chronic pain and suffering and PMDD and all these things we're exploring here. And at the same time, this is something that is so important when it comes to coaching and facilitation, is that I believe, and it's not always the case, but in a lot of what I have seen in the therapeutic and the kind of mainstream therapy world that doesn't come from an anti-oppressive or trauma-informed or kind of feminist approach, or doesn't weave those lenses in, is that we can go into this like, the poor client, I'm going to save them. You know, I'm the one, I'm the well one, and they're the sick one. So there can be, if we only sit in the thinking that, oh, this work is so tender and I'm never going to be able to help them, then we're kind of setting ourselves up to fail almost, you know? So we really want to be careful with what are the dynamics in our belief system when we're thinking about our clients. Are we sitting on this belief of like, you know, I'm okay and they're not okay? Or, oh, this is such complex work, I'll never be able to help them. Or my work's never going to be good enough for me. It's so tender that it's just, you know, we're completely doomed. This very negative, heavy energy in our thinking that comes from probably a whole world that is just telling us all these mixed messages that, like, you know, there's just like mixed messages around, oh, the menstrual cycle is far too complex. No one can ever figure it out. Or, oh, you have to have a zillion billion qualifications before you can figure it out. Or you only have to be a person in a white coat with 3 or 4 PhDs to be the person who works in this space. So I just want to really like think about how we are working unconscious, or what is happening in our own systems in terms of power dynamics that we're not aware of. And that's something to really think about, to think that through. You can also think this through in the academy, we talk about the drama triangle, which is, you might have heard of this, you might not have heard of it. Essentially, it's a relational model that a lot of life coaches use to help understand their client through the lens of relationships. So if we're thinking about this kind of, oh, our poor client, and a kind of pitying them, we're unconsciously positioning them in this like victim role, where we are the one who will or won't or might not save them, when that's not really our role. Our role is to sit in our own empowerment, and I believe to sit in our belief that even if your client doesn't feel it right now, or if you don't feel it right now, which is perfectly normal and I totally get it, but for you to work with someone who does this, and if you're a professional yourself, to actually sit in the energy of believing that your client is well able. Okay. So that actually takes a huge amount of pressure off my students who are training as professional coaches, to not kind of go down that rabbit hole of, oh, this is just such terrible, heavy work and it's so complicated and I have so much fear and I'm never going to be good enough. And like, how can I possibly help them? And I totally get it. I totally, totally get it. It is complicated work. But at the end of the day, what your client needs is a lot of co-regulation, a lot of listening, a lot of support, a lot of encouragement. And instead of this weird power dynamic where you know, one person is the pitied one and one person is the pitying one. And I'm not saying that that's what my student was doing, but it's kind of like what I'm talking about here is just that we're trying to avoid that. Is that we want to get into a relational dynamic with our clients where we see our client as well able and we see our role as learning with our client. So I'm not putting pressure on myself to know everything when people come to me. I don't know what they're going to bring up. I'm going to listen and I'm going to do my best and I'm going to be confident in my skills and my experience and in the supports I have, you know, my supervisor and other people who support me in my work. And then I trust myself to know when to refer out or when someone might need additional support alongside my work, you know, and you kind of get good at that over time too. But really, 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 really what's so important is underneath my seat is the seed that is the belief, the new belief that my client is well able. They might not know it right now. They might still need a lot of holding, a lot of containment, a lot of compassion, a lot of support, a lot of empathy, maybe a lot of validation, a lot of guidance, and it's going to be okay. And we're going to get them, you know, no matter how long it takes, to a place where they can feel, oh, I'm well able. I'm well able, even in my time of need. I'm well able, even when I'm vulnerable. I'm able to look after myself. I trust myself. And I really want to give you this message too, if you're not interested in like the coaching and facilitation side of things, but to think about that for yourself, like you are well able, even if there are a lot of vulnerabilities and there is a lot of tenderness there, you having access to your well ableness doesn't negate your vulnerability as a human and as a woman with a cycle and, you know, all the challenges that that might bring. Because there are days, and I relate to it, there's days where I just don't want to, I can be like sulking or really dysregulated or struggling in pain. And then, as we all know, the cycle, you know, moves. And then it could be a couple of hours that I feel better, or even like 40 minutes or maybe a couple of days and I'm better, or I might take a shower and that shifts my energy. So everyone, I really do believe that everyone is well able to make a tiny, tiny shift in their energy. And it can be as simple as taking a shower or putting on a lip gloss or calling a friend or playing some music or having a cup of tea, and something small like that can really shift, you know, shift your nervous system state. And that's also a skill to learn how to do that. And it's really important that like my clients, my students are going to succeed only if I see them as well able and I embody confidence on their behalf, because how are they going to get to their confidence if I don't even believe in them, you know? So that's what I want to share with you today, that in all these levels, like if you're coaching with people, if you're thinking about looking for a coach, if you are thinking about your own kind of relationship with yourself, even if you've got kids or little ones at home, or even friends, you know, friends who are struggling and they're opening up to you, to absolutely offer them the empathy and the hugs and the shoulder to cry on, and also mirror back to them like, you know, you're doing great and you're well able, you know, I trust you to look after yourself. I trust you to really like practice your self-care and really speak to their power, speak to their agency, even when they don't have a sense of it, or even if they've never had a sense of it, you know? So that is the message for today, is you are well able and your client is well able. And linking it back to the beautiful message from Orna Murray about, you know, getting out there and joining the running group or whatever it is that I was well able to do yesterday and celebrating today, because, you know, those things can be hard to do. So that's it from me. What do I want to share with you? We've got the Menstrual Coach Academy coming up in February 2027. I'd love to have you there. Head on over to the website, menstrualcoachacademy.com. Grab a cup of tea. I really appreciate it if you could read through the website, make sure it's a good fit for you. You can download the curriculum in the information booklet and get your name on the waiting list. Doors are actually now open if you want to get your name into the waiting list, and then you can receive a booking link to secure your spot. And I know a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing that we are doing an in-person retreat in October. Unfortunately, due to some circumstances outside of my control, we have had to cancel that. But there was actually quite a lot of interest. So thank you so much for those of you who have messaged me. letting me know that you wanted to come, and I will do my best to rearrange a new in-person workshop in maybe towards the end of the year and in the new year. And what else do I have? We've got the Menstrual Mastery Collective that is coming up in October, and I'm very excited about that. And this episode is coming out at the beginning of September, and then we've got a few more episodes coming soon. So stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're doing well. Have a lovely rest of your week, and I will talk to you very soon.
Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs, and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.